Path to True Happiness and Authenticity, a masterclass for people pleasers.
And let's dive right in. So welcome to the People Pleasers Path to Freedom Masterclass. We're going to be diving into the world of people pleasing, validation seeking, and we're going to be touching a little bit on boundary setting as well today. So we're super excited to be your guides on this journey. And I just want to kick this off by sharing a little bit about what you can expect to cover today. So we're going to be talking about, first of all, what people pleasing really is, what is at the root of it, and how we can break free from this cycle of constantly putting everyone else first and neglecting our own needs. Ultimately, the vision here is for you to break free from the cycle of constantly putting everyone else ahead of yourself so that you can finally get out of that trap of not feeling seen, heard, and validated. Okay, so in this short masterclass, I'm going to be sharing with you some practical tools and techniques to help you build your self-awareness, to help you start setting and maintaining better boundaries, and as well how to just really cultivate the power of authenticity, right? And so you're going to discover how to stop chasing that external validation so that you can start creating the validation that you truly need from within. And ultimately, I'm very confident by the end of this class that you're going to feel more empowered, more energized, and better equipped to lead a more authentic and fulfilling life starting today. So let's get started on your journey to freedom. So I'm Christy Holt. I am a self-proclaimed happiness hussy. That is a story for another day, and I'm happy to share it. But just as a brief intro, I am an adventure guide for the journey of life. I am a podcast host. I host a show called Create Your Happy. I am also a seasoned speaker and international best-selling author of Unstuck for Women. But not too far in my distant past, I also found myself trapped in the world of people-pleasing patterns. I felt stuck, I felt overwhelmed, I felt anxious, and I felt very hopeless to change any of it. I actually felt really underneath it all, desperate to be seen and heard, and I was craving validation, like it was the food I had just given up. You know, when you decide to eat healthier and you're not gonna have donuts for a month and then you can't stop thinking about donuts. I know that some of you out there are gonna relate to this. In any case, what happened was everything changed when I realized that it's me and that I'm the common denominator. And by taking radical responsibility for creating the life that I truly wanted, I was able to start having the experiences of my dreams. And I absolutely cannot wait to take you on a journey with this masterclass so that you too can discover this freedom that's been waiting for you. And it's been waiting for you all along. So, all right, now, in case you're curious, and I hope that you are, let's dive into today's topic. So who here is curious to know not only why you're a people pleaser, but also like how to fucking stop it, right? So first, let's clarify by discussing what people pleasing actually is. And in a nutshell, it is the tendency of individuals to prioritize the needs and desires of others above their own, often to the point of sacrificing their own well-being and happiness. And ultimately, this behavior stems from desire for external validation and a fear of rejection or disapproval. And as such, boundaries are a tough thing for a lot of people pleasers. They have a hard time saying no. And therefore, often people pleasers really find themselves feeling super drained, super overwhelmed, resentful, unappreciated, and unfulfilled. So I'm curious, for those of you here with us live, what does people-pleasing look and feel like for you? Share with us in the chat what those tendencies look like for you and how you have seen people-pleasing playing out in your personal experience. Yeah. So Larissa says, smiling and nodding even when I want to strongly disagree. We see you, Larissa. We see you. And Jen, just agreeing with other people because you don't know how to say no. I think we have all been there and done that. It can be so hard to face conflict with people, especially if we don't know how they're going to respond and we are a little bit uneasy in ourselves. Not standing up for your beliefs and values. Absolutely, sure, I've been there, done that too. Have absolutely let people walk all over me in the past because I haven't stood up for myself and spoke up for what I need, what my position was, and given in to a lot of things that if I were to go back, I probably would do a little bit differently. Now, you know, it's not about going back and changing things because I actually do think about that from time to time. And I think that, you know, it's not about going back and changing it because all of those things contributed to who I am and where I'm at now. So I don't want to change a single thing from before, but I want to take the wisdom nuggets out of those past experiences and take those forward with me. So all amazing. And oh yes, and apologizing. Canadians are extra guilty for this, perhaps, because we very often will apologize even when there is nothing to apologize for. We apologize for taking up space. We apologize to be polite to people. We're going to talk a little bit more about a lot of this stuff and how to break free of a lot of these challenges. So, you know, ultimately, just like we've kind of, oh, you're secretly Canadian. Love it. Love it. We've talked a little bit here about how it can kind of show up, but I also want to mention that people pleasing can really have some negative impacts on your mental and emotional health. Some of you may recognize this as well. This constant seeking of external validation and putting others' needs before your own ultimately can lead to chronic stress, anxiety, depression, and a whole host of other challenges. And people pleasers can also really get stuck struggling with low self-esteem or a lack of assertiveness, which then leads into this difficulty setting those healthy boundaries. And ultimately, this leads to further stress and feelings of being overwhelmed, right? So additionally, people pleasers tend to have this need to prioritize the needs of others ahead of our own. And that can really lead to a lot of burnout and further impact on our overall health. So those are some of the high level symptoms, I guess, that you might be experiencing as far as your mental and emotional health go. We're going to also now dive into some common signs and symptoms of people pleasing that you may recognize in yourself. We would love to invite you to let us know in the comments by typing yes if any of these are going to resonate for you. So if you hear anything in this list that is resonating for you or you have done or experienced it in the past, feel free to hop into the chat. Let us know. Are we speaking to you? Here we go. Difficulty saying no. Constantly seeking external validation and approval outside of ourselves. Anyone. You know, this chat box would be like lit up, right? Putting others' needs and desires before your own. Who's done that? All the moms in the crowd, we'll be like two hands in, right? We have definitely been there and done that one. What about feeling guilty or anxious when you can't meet someone else's expectations? Has that caught anybody? How about overcommitting and struggling to manage your time effectively? Right? Y'all just be yes, 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 all the things. Me, yes, me too. Me too, always. Used to be me, and I'm so grateful that you're here because we can't wait to share some exciting ways that you can let go of this. What about suppressing your own emotions and needs in order to avoid conflict or maintain harmony? And I'll tell you what, my partner called me out on potentially doing this last week as I was sharing a situation. And I just wanted to vent. I didn't want to address it with the other person. I just wanted to get it off my chest. And he called me out. He's like, are you sure you're not people pleasing? And so I thought about it. I was like, yeah, you know, I can see how this could be construed as that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we do have to decide what is worth our energy and our giving up our peace, right? And I have said it before, and I'm going to say it again, that if the cost is our peace, that's too fucking high, right? So we don't want to be giving of ourselves to the point where we're costing us our own peace. And sometimes that means venting and not necessarily dealing directly with the situation, letting it go, choosing to let it go. Does anybody else out there ever feel exhausted or burnt out from the constant efforting to please other people or to make other people happy? Like, this shit is exhausting, right? You too, hey? I mean, we have both been there. This is why we are so passionate to share, because we have lived on that other side. And we tell you what, there's room at our table for you to join us, and we think it's better on this side. So what about struggling to set and maintain healthy boundaries in your relationships? Anybody struggle with the boundary setting, clearly communicating it, and then that really shitty part of upholding it when someone's like trying to push past it, right? Does anybody in the crowd have difficulty with decision making, especially when it comes to chasing your own wants and desires and needs, not someone else's, right? It's sometimes a little easier to do the things when we're doing for someone else, but we can really hold ourselves back being uncertain about doing that thing for ourselves. Yep. Yep.
I'm done with you calling me out like this.
I'm so sorry. I mean, oh shit, I did it myself. I just apologized. I am not really sorry. I love you, and I am grateful for this opportunity to have a discussion, right? Because we can't change what we're unaware of. And so by bringing some of these things to the light, we can really start to see, how have we been showing up and how do we want to show up? And then let's find the way to bridge that gap. Am I right, my friends? So what about generally feeling resentful or unappreciated after you've given? Has anybody had that one? That's like a sneaky, subtle one. Like, you thought, like, I'll just be a nice. And then later on, you're like, what the hell? Like, I did not get appreciated for my niceness. What? Right? So sometimes we can have this underlying emotional charge behind it that we're not thinking we're trying to people please, but there's sort of this underneath bit that's kind of coming up for us to see, where maybe we are creating some expectations around what we're giving, which we're going to dive into a little bit more later on. All right, I got one more, and I think that every last one of us is going to be able to put two hands up for this one. Editing your words in order to manage the emotions of others. Has anybody done this? Not said something because you didn't want to upset someone, or change your words because you didn't want to upset someone, or didn't post the thing on Facebook in case it might fucking upset someone, right? I think we have all been there and done that a few times. Not just me, I hope. So yes, definitely erase messages, don't post, deleted. Yes, yes, yes. I know that you guys, I am speaking to you. And we have been there too. So, you know, if you are open to sharing, now that we've kind of gone through that big list, I would love to hear which one resonated the most for you. Which of these tendencies are you seeing showing up in your life with the most regularity or the most intensity? Which one would you like most to shift? And if it's all of them, okay. It seems like everybody being like all of them. Okay. If you think of one of them, overextending for others, yes, good. Oh, holding emotions, yes, so good. And actually, I was reading earlier this morning, here's another one to add to the list. Are you someone who discounts compliments from other people? Sometimes that can be an indication as well, right? Where we're not able to receive, and so we actually block a lot of goodness from our life when we aren't able to receive. So I just wanted to throw that one random into the mix because it came to mind. Now, ultimately, the goal of this masterclass is to shift your thinking so that you can start experiencing your life differently, right? We're hoping one of the biggest shifts that you can make ultimately is around this relationship, the most important relationship that you have. And that's the one with yourself, okay? So here's a little reminder. You are already so, so good enough. You are already so worthy. You don't need to do anything to earn your worth or to earn your worthiness or your good enoughness or any of that. You're already worthy just as you are. Conditioning, yes, has taught you to question or to the need to earn or prove your worth, but that's not the truth, because you are inherently worthy, because you are a miracle simply for coming into existence. And I know that sometimes this shift can really help people out of the people pleasing, because it can release you from some of the efforting that you're doing in order to get this external validation, so that you can shift into authentic living, because authentic living is where your true freedom lies. Okay. So we want you to move away from the efforting and the doing and into the being authentically you. Okay. And that is more than enough. Stay with us. We're going to keep going. So if you're like, okay, that sounds nice, but we're not quite there. Don't worry. Don't worry. We've got lots more for you. So next I wanted to also share a little bit about good girl programming, because this is pervasive. Okay. This idea of being good, being enough, obeying, doing what others expect, and being nice is just a whole bunch of shooting on ourselves, right? So this good girl programming can show up in so many different ways, such as difficulty setting boundaries, okay? Because people pleasers, we often have a hard time saying no, right? So even when it's in our best interest, we've been really conditioned by this good girl conditioning to show up and be accommodating and be helpful and be nurturing, because that's what it takes to be quote unquote a good girl, right? People pleasers may also avoid asserting themselves and expressing their true thoughts and feelings out of a deep fear that they will be rejected or disapproved of by others. So this fear of rejection or disapproval can actually keep us really stuck, really trapped in analysis paralysis, right? From saying the things that we truly want to say, from allowing others to truly see who we are, right? And we also, on that note, can end up putting everyone else's needs and wants before our own, which can end up in us neglecting our own self-care and our own well-being, which, yes, it can feel selfish. But I want to flip the script on that, because self-care is not selfish. In fact, the only way to truly give to others without draining yourself is to first fill your own cup, right? And from this abundance, taking good care of yourself, meeting your needs, you know, filling yourself up to this place of abundance allows you to show up at your greatest capacity to give to others. And so by neglecting your own self-care and well-being, you're kind of on a path to burnout and exhaustion, and that's not going to allow you to keep giving. And now I know you're a people pleaser because you have a big heart. You want to give, you want to share, you want to help people. That is like the empath way, right? And so when we are giving, 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 and not taking time for ourselves, we end up depleted. And so while it feels selfish, that lie that caring for yourself is selfish, that is conditioning that has taught you that it is wrong to care for yourself and that it is good, quote unquote, good to put others ahead of you, right? And so this is what is keeping us trapped in this situation. Now, people pleasers may also struggle to be their true selves, right? They're not acting authentically, and instead they feel like they need to adopt a persona or behave in a way that looks good or is pleasing or acceptable to other people, right? So instead of showing up authentically and speaking our true voice or taking our actions that feel aligned for us, we can easily get in this trap of wearing masks, right? Saying what other people want, what we think, and here's the real crux of the thing, is sometimes we're saying what we think they want to hear, and we actually might be wrong, right? So we've got to really be careful about this one. And as well, when we get into this trap, and I really notice it now, I see people dating and they are holding back a part of them because they want to impress people. They want people to like them. And I'm telling you what, that is a trap, because the more you go out there wearing the masks, the more compelled you feel to keep wearing the masks, right? And then you can't take it off. And I have been there and done that And it's a trap that keeps you stuck in a lifetime of inauthentic living, right? So just checking the chat here really quick. So not taking care of self, became very sick. That is a really common outcome. And the truth is, when we're not taking time to care for ourselves, we're not taking time to process through our emotions, through our traumas. We're going to talk a little bit about the root of this very shortly. But when we're not taking that time and space, our body is keeping score for us. And so as we go on, we can end up suffering from chronic pain or chronic health issues due to the emotions that we are not allowing to move through us. Okay, so we're going to circle back to that in a moment. I also want to just comment here on the good girl conditioning has got us all believing that being nice is the way to go, right? This good girl conditioning says, oh, we got to be nice. We got to be nice. We got to be nice. But I believe that being nice is overrated. And now there is a difference between being nice and being kind, okay? So being nice is being pleasing and agreeable to others. This is the definition in the dictionary, being pleasing and appeasing to others versus being kind, which ultimately is just speaking your truth in love. Okay. And so when you are authentically yourself, you can be kind, you can give, you can actually give so much more. Because once you have built yourself up, you've gassed yourself up, you are ready to give, and you have a great deal more capacity to give. And now I just want to circle back. I mentioned a little earlier too, sometimes those underlying emotions, those frustrations, resentment, anger, all of these things that might come up after can really be a bit of an indication where we don't necessarily recognize that we're being nice, pleasing, agreeable. We think we're just being nice, right? We think we're being a good person by being nice and doing what we're supposed to. And so if we're receiving these emotional triggers on the back end, the frustration, the resentment, the unappreciation, the anger, all of these things, those can just highlight for us that maybe there is something a little bit deeper for us to look here. Now, the bottom line is, if we're going to ditch the people pleasing, and that's what we came here for today, we've got to get to know ourselves. We've got to build a strong foundational relationship with ourself, which is outside and completely away from what the world has taught us. Okay, we must really gain the awareness around what's true for us, learn our truths, dig those out from within, because this is how we are creating our experience, right? And by getting a deeper understanding, this is how we can reclaim our personal power. You never gave it away. It's always been there. It's just a matter of stepping in and taking it back. And so we can finally then stop putting everyone else ahead of ourselves. We can start taking the actions that we want. We can start setting and maintaining those boundaries. And we can start having all of those experiences that we truly desire, which exactly what we're here for, right? So while we're leaning into courageous vulnerability, we can become this fully expressed and authentic version of ourselves. The masks come off. And we allow ourselves to then be truly seen and heard. And I know this may sound terrifying, but hang in there. We're going to keep going here. So people pleasing obviously can have many different causes, including childhood experiences and those personality traits that came from societal expectations. Lots of conditioning throughout our entire lives is commonly rooted in childhood trauma. And this often stems from unmet needs in childhood. And when we have this experience, it can lead to these really deep feelings of inadequacy. And this can further result in shame. So even if there was no major trauma, we can still have these experiences, because trauma is not always related just to the specific event. It can also come from a lack of emotional support or validation, or a lack of having a need met. So it's important to really understand that not only the way we process the experience shapes our responses, but also our internalization of any of the emotions or memories associated with said trauma. And now when we have these needs that are not met by our caregivers in childhood, our brain literally cannot internalize the idea that there is, you know, something wrong with that, because it puts our very survival into question. So what happens is, exactly, we internalize the idea that there is something bad or wrong with us. So we assume that because there is an issue, that we must be not good enough, or maybe even that we're bad. And so one of the best ways to overcome this is to do some work with the inner child, providing, you know, this healing across all timelines. Essentially, this is just giving your inner child the love, acceptance, safety, and validation that she needed. And this can be a very powerful tool. So stay to the very end for a quick bonus tool that you can use to start doing this inner child work today. But we're going to keep going with all of this goodness for now. So people pleasing is also a form of emotional manipulation. And even when it is not intended to be manipulative, because it is a trauma response, no one is consciously thinking, I'm going to be a huge jerk today and I'm going to manipulate the person. However, when we're showing up in this energy of trying to control the outcome, trying to elicit a certain response in order to have our needs met or have expectations met, we can really end up feeling very frustrated, triggered, and resentful, because we might not always get that response. Because here's the real truth: we can't actually control anyone else's emotions or reactions, and ultimately it's not your responsibility to do so. So as a result, it is completely and utterly a waste of your time and energy to attempt to do this, to try and control other people's emotions or reactions. And that is just not a good use of your time. So as a people pleaser who has recovered a couple of years now, I would say, and I still catch myself, and awareness is absolutely everything. But when I do reflect back, I have a ton of examples. So I'd love to share a few of these examples with you today. So as an early young adult, I guess early in my adult life, I got a business degree. I became a professional accountant, in fact. And the truth is I thought that's what was going to make my mom proud of me. I didn't actually know myself well enough to know what it was that I truly wanted. And so I did the thing that I thought my parents would be proud of me if I did, the thing that they expected of me. And then I went from there into a career that I didn't love, got into a marriage that I basically spent the whole relationship trying to prove my worth, to make him happy. And spoiler alert, if you don't know, that didn't work out. It actually left me feeling pretty shitty, honestly. And so I was trapped in a lot of these weird thinking thoughts. I also thought that my kids would want me and need me to protect them and keep our family together, that would be what would be best for our family. I had this deep-seated fear of breaking up my family or causing more damage. And ultimately, that was people-pleasing in the end, because what was best for us was for me to show up, to find myself, to love myself first, and to lead the way. There is absolutely no other way of doing that, you know, for your kids. When you want your kids to have the best life possible, you've got to show up and lead the way. So, you know, I mentioned a little earlier, ultimately I found the freedom when I took radical responsibility for how I was showing up. Now my relationship, kind of in the crapper. My life overall, kind of felt in the crapper because of the relationship stuff. But overall, my life, my relationship, my business, all of it underwent a massive transformation. And in under 5 years, I have gone from unhappy and incredibly lonely in a high conflict marriage to literally living the dream in the most beautiful, incredible relationship of my dreams. Like, we just literally, I don't think we could be happier. It just keeps getting better and better and better. The truth at the bottom of all of this is the catalyst for me was self-compassion. And this simple shift of loving compassion towards myself, as I did what I call compassionate inquiry, has truly led me to be able to create all of the experiences that I truly desire. And now, for the moment you've all been waiting for, we shall wave our magic wand and, oh, hold on a minute, it doesn't work like that. I wish it did. Don't you all wish it worked like that? Instead, let me show you how you can wave your own metaphorical magic wand and start breaking free from people pleasing in three key steps. And they are, number one, building self-awareness. Number two, setting healthy boundaries. And number three, practicing vulnerability. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, what the heck do each of these steps actually look like? So let's talk a little bit about what to expect and a few things to consider as you're moving through these three steps. So, building self-awareness. This involves exploring the root causes of your people-pleasing behavior, including any childhood experiences and societal expectations that are keeping you stuck in a loop. This is not even you. So this is going to be something that you can easily, you know, work with and move through so that you can allow it to be released from your experience. We're also going to work on recognizing the negative impact that people-pleasing has had on your life, such as burnout, anxiety, resentment, so that you can have the awareness of where you're starting. That is huge when it comes to making a shift. Now, it's not to stay there and have a pity party. It's just to create the awareness so that you can start moving forward to create the experience that you truly want. You're also going to be practicing mindfulness and self-reflection, because if we want to move forward, we've got to learn to better understand our emotions and behaviors, right? We are not defined by our thoughts and our emotions. We are defined by our response to them, by our actions. And so we can let go of defining ourselves by our emotions, by our behaviors, and start consciously choosing, who are we going to be? How are we going to show up? And paying attention to the physical sensations in your body, becoming aware of the emotions, becoming aware of any stress or discomfort that you're holding in your body, will really increase this awareness. And as you increase your awareness, you're going to have a much greater capacity to move through and away from those things that are no longer serving you. And of course, increasing your awareness is going to arm you with strategies and tools that keep you moving forward so that you are no longer stuck in patterns and loops. That's what we all want, right? The next one, setting healthy boundaries. Now, I know for people pleasers, this can be really challenging. So here is a very introductory guide to setting those boundaries. Number one, you're going to really want to make sure that you're identifying your values and priorities. Now, this is crucial. They must be yours. They cannot be someone else's. They cannot be society at large. It cannot be based on the conditioning. They cannot be your parents' values and priorities. They must be yours. This may involve you redefining some of your identity. So this could be a little bit deeper of a job than just it may seem on the surface, but it is absolutely worth it. Because what you're going to do once you've identified your values and your priorities for you is that you're going to use those as the guide for setting boundaries, which will make communicating your boundaries very clearly and respectfully to others a lot easier, because you are just expressing your truth, your boundaries, your values. And this is in fact a loving way to communicate to others, right? To show them the door, to invite them into your inner circle, showing them the way. It's not about putting walls up, it's really about inviting people in. And then recognizing when other people are not respecting your boundaries and then taking the action to enforce them, this will also become a lot easier. The better you know yourself, the better that you are expressing yourself clearly and standing up for yourself. The third step is practicing vulnerability. And before we move too deeply into this, I want to just really make it clear that vulnerability is not a weakness. Okay, this is something that has been miscommunicated out in the world. And I want you to take pause and try on the idea that vulnerability might actually be a strength and a superpower in disguise, okay? As well, flipping the script, reminding you, we talked a little bit about earlier about self-care, not selfish, right? It's actually a necessary part of being human. So let's tie that all together. When we start recognizing the ways in which vulnerability can enhance our relationships and foster deeper connections, we can start to see that the more we show up as authentically ourselves, the more we can practice being honest and authentic with others about our thoughts and feelings, the more we are going to create an environment where we will actually be able to get what we're seeking, which is to be seen, to be heard, to be loved, to be accepted. And allowing yourself to be the imperfect, perfect human, imperfect by the world's standards, perfect in your miracle of existence. And when we start to learn that mistakes are not failures, they don't make you bad, they're actually just a natural part of your growth and your learning process, we can allow ourselves to show up imperfectly as ourselves and create space for bringing in the people that we truly want in our lives. So it's important to remember here, overcoming people pleasing is a process, okay? It's a journey. It's not just an end destination. It can take a little bit of time to practice and build these new habits and behaviors. But by building self-awareness, setting healthy boundaries, and practicing vulnerability, I promise you will start to shift your focus from that external validation to cultivating more of that love and self-acceptance for yourself. And like I say, this is the space from which you can then really start powerfully creating those desired experiences of your dreams. What this is not bypassing in any way, shape, or form. You've got to feel it to heal it. So when you're feeling uncomfortable emotions, this is not about stuffing it away. And in fact, if you have done that before, first of all, give me a shout out in the chat if you have done that, stuffed it away because it felt like too much. But the fact of stuffing it away and trying to tuck it under the rug very often actually is what is contributing to this experience that you're having. It's making you feel like you're broken, like there's something wrong with you, that you have a whole journey of healing ahead of you. And it's distracting you from the fact that you're already whole as you are. You are perfectly whole. So in my world, I don't refer to healing as, you know, any sort of way of fixing yourself. It's actually more of a remembering and a coming back to your wholeness. And now this wholeness represents your higher self, right? And so you're not broken, you're human, and you've forgotten how fucking incredible you are, right? So take a moment to remember, wait a minute, I am incredible. And yes, we have shadow parts. We have broken bits that seem like they're broken. We may have things where we would just love to slap on a band-aid and call it a day. But ultimately, what we're wanting to do is bring the darkness to the light, because that is how we can heal it. That is how we can remember our wholeness. And I tell you what, you were not the only one who has had that thought, done that thing, said that thing, had that experience, or any of it. Now, this is not to say you're not special, because you're fucking special, right? It's just to say that you are not alone. And if you want to better understand how to follow your truth and not give in to the thoughts and the emotions that can be very heavy holding you back, maybe those ones you stuffed under the rug, they're clinging to you, dragging along behind you. The suggestion is to follow love, not fear, okay? So following this love, following what feels right and good for you, and really not giving as much weight to the fear-based thinking, those what ifs, the worst case scenarios, the what will they think, what will they do, just setting that aside and asking yourself, what would be the most loving thing for me, right? You are allowed and worthy and deserving of having that. Now, all your feelings are valid. So again, like I said, this isn't about skipping it or avoiding or bypassing it or, you know, high vibe, positive thoughts all the time. But rather it's about looking at and trying on different perspectives, okay? So that you can take what feels right, feels like truth for you, and then you can leave the rest. The truth is, your truth is within you. There is no guru out there. There's no one who has all of the answers. There's no one besides you that has your answers. And being mindful to avoid getting looped into the thought or emotional spirals, which, by the way, just a quick plug for my book here. If you need the spiral stopper method, that is a great tool that you can use to get out of autopilot and get into a space of more awareness of what you're creating. Now, accepting your current reality This giving yourself some self-compassion for where you're at is actually the ideal first step here. Because I don't know about any of you, but I have never been able to beat myself up or berate myself into being truly better. And if it did work, because sometimes it does, like, quote unquote work, it quote unquote motivates you and you maybe took some action. But if you think about it, wouldn't you rather take action that feels good and have a good result that feels good and everything feels good instead of sacrificing and saying, well, at least I did this. It could be worse, right? So acceptance and giving yourself compassion for where you're at is not about complacency, or, you know, it's not going to keep you stuck there if you say, okay, this is where I'm starting, and being really honest. What it is about is taking radical responsibility for your starting point, right? So that you can then choose where you're going to go from there. So take a moment, grab a pen and paper if you don't have already. I would like to invite you all to come into the present moment so that we can create some sacred space here for this curiosity and some compassionate inquiry. And so I'm going to lead you guys through four rounds of box breathing. If you're unfamiliar with box breathing, not to worry, it will make a lot of sense and make it be very clear to you in just a moment. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time reflecting on the questions in the PDF. And I would love your feedback and your questions. So before we get started, just coming into the present moment, taking four nice deep breaths. We're going to breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth, and we're going to pause at the top and bottom. So breathing in for 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold 1, 2, 3, 4. Out through your mouth, 2, 3, 4. And hold 2, 3, 4. Again, in 2, 3, 4. Hold 2, 3, 4. Exhale 2, 3, 4. And hold 2, 3, 4. In 2, 3, 4. And hold 2, 3, 4. Release 2, 3, 4. And hold 2, 3, 4. Last one, nice and deep. In 2, 3. Filling all the way up to 4. And hold 2, 3, 4. Now slowly, slowly, slowly exhaling through pursed lips like you're blowing out a candle. See how long you can take to exhale. You can resume your regular breathing all by the way that nature intended it. And I want to have a slight discussion around these prompts. Ultimately, the goal here is to increase your self-awareness and to simply identify any patterns in our thoughts or behaviors, right? Remember, this is a personal process, so there's no right or wrong. This isn't about right or wrong or being, you know, any type of way. Is simply with the goal of increasing self-awareness and identifying these patterns, because as I've said, we, with this increased awareness, we can truly start to make positive changes in our lives. So the first question is, what does people pleasing mean to you? And how do you define it? So digging into this question ultimately is going to give you a bit of a snapshot about what this actually means for you. And maybe this definition has expanded over the duration of this conversation. But how do you define people pleasing? What does it mean in your experience? How does it show up in your experience? What is or isn't people pleasing in your experience? Feel free to share with me your thoughts in the chat, or feel free to process it and journal it out. Whatever your process is acceptable and more than okay here. I'd also love to invite you to consider some examples of times where you have put someone else's needs or wants ahead of your own. Just taking inventory, taking stock. When have you done that? When have you noticed yourself doing that? What are the sort of circumstances that often arise that may lead to that? Is there certain relationships that you find yourself really doing this in? Yeah, and definitely not considering our own needs when wanting to help others is a fast track to burnout, right? And this can really leave us feeling like I've given everything and haven't gotten the response that I wanted in return, right? And so really diving into this self-care as the foundation, this relationship with self, really is going to help you to be able to do all that giving, do all of that helping that we feel that we really in our deep in our heart want to do, but without sacrificing ourselves, because we can do both of those things. We can feel good and we can do the giving, the helping, and all of these things that our heart and soul long for. And I would love to know, how do you typically feel when you say no to someone? What thoughts go through your head? What does it feel like in your body? What are the stories that you're telling yourself when you've said no? Yeah, we've definitely done this, haven't we? Always being nice and minimizing our needs. But what happens when we say no? Sometimes it can be empowering. Yeah, absolutely. We don't want to upset people. And again, I'm going to insert a little reminder here that it's not your responsibility to manage other people's emotions. Now, this is a nice versus kind situation here, right? We can deliver our truth in love, in kindness, in a way that, you know, absolves us of our responsibility. That's a lot different than just, you know, berating someone or telling them how it is or how we see it or not creating any compassionate space. And we can be so fearful of losing people, losing relationships. But I would encourage you to really just go deep on this one and consider that if by communicating your needs to someone you're in relationship with, if you're worried about losing that relationship, are they really the kind of people that you want to build close relationships with? If you can't actually express yourselves, if you can't say no when you mean no, if you don't have the space to discover your authentic voice and to share that with them, is that relationship truly worth hanging on to? Or would it best be served to create space for new relationships that better meet your needs? Curious, let me know how that's landing. The last question to consider here is really ultimately, how has people pleasing affected your life? And because we are all about taking radical responsibility, right? We are taking a snapshot of how is it affecting your life, so that we can start to uncover the patterns, start to see them for what they are, and start to create new patterns, repattern into our life. Yeah, and it does end up actually creating what we really want to go into this people-pleasing tendency with is it's ultimately about wanting to be seen, to be heard, to be loved, to be accepted. And the more we try this, the more we seem to end up chasing an ever elusive mirage of feeling seen and loved and heard and accepted. And the truth is it's a loop. Because when you are showing up as authentically yourself, you actually provide the opportunity to be seen and loved and heard and accepted. Yet when you are in the people pleaser mode, you are not showing up as yourself. You are not showing up as authentically you. And therefore, when other people do validate you, there's still this underlying feeling of they don't know the real me. If they really knew me, they would feel differently, right? And so we'll end up getting sucked right back into those thoughts. And we still end up feeling, yes, empty. Like we're wasting our time. We're doing all the things. We might even be surrounded by people, but we still feel hella alone, right? So awareness is the very first step. But awareness on its own is not nearly going to get you there, right? We can be aware of things all day long, but until we take action, we are going to be stuck in knowledge and not experience. So by taking practical steps to truly understand and accept yourself, you can create the freedom that you desire and that you deserve. Okay. So now that you've identified many of these people pleasing patterns, you can choose to simply observe yourself the next time some of those similar situations arise. And alternatively, you may wish to take this another step further and to mentally rehearse how you would show up next time in a similar situation if you were acting as your best self, right? So we're going to talk here briefly a little bit about attachment and how that can play into people pleasing. And then I'm going to share some specific examples of how some strategies you can implement in daily life will help you to create the shift. So grab your pen and paper, get ready to take a few notes. Let's chat here briefly about attachment. So insecure attachment can lead to people pleasing. Now, this is a story of my life, right? And I see you guys, you got some similar stories. You attract, you know, maybe not the best people. You're attracting patterns and loops and experiences with different people, but it's the same shit, different day, right? So attachment theory actually suggests that our early experiences with caregivers can shape how we relate to others later in life. And now if I had a little bit more of this knowledge when my children were little, things might be quite different, but here we are. The first 7 years of our lives is actually basically like we're like a sponge downloading all of the experience from the world around us. And if we have this history of insecure attachment, which can be anxious or avoidant attachment, we often have developed coping mechanisms, right? Because survival, our survival response requires us to develop these coping mechanisms that involve seeking approval and validation from others. So this is what ultimately can then lead us to people-pleasing behavior, because we are under the impression that meeting other people's needs is the key to maintaining relationships and avoiding abandonment, right? Which is what we're trying so hard to avoid, right? And so because people pleasers often have this very strong fear of rejection, this can really ultimately push them to prioritize other needs over their own. They're sacrificing their own self, in order to maintain the attachment, the relationship. And so they're going to worry that saying no might lead to conflict or rejection. So they avoid. I've done this. Avoided all kinds of stuff because I don't want to upset someone. I don't want to deal with conflict. And this is, like I said, precisely what my partner was kind of calling me out on. Was I trying to just avoid conflict? And if we're doing so with the awareness that that conflict is not worth our energy or our effort, that's an entirely different ballgame from avoiding it to just keep ourselves safe and protected. So really getting this awareness. This fear ultimately can really stem from these early childhood experiences of rejection or abandonment. It might be parental, it could be peer groups, it could be anything. But at the end of the day, it basically can create this deep-seated need for acceptance and validation outside, from outside of ourselves. And ironically, and this is the real rub, right, is that people-pleasing behavior can actually reinforce insecure attachment patterns, right? Because we're constantly seeking approval and validation from other people, and people-pleasers may inadvertently push people away or attract those who are emotionally unavailable and attract people that might even take advantage of their willingness to please other people. And so this creates a cycle of insecurity and dependence on others for validation, right? Which has us on the train of trying to do the things, always efforting, trying to get the validation. But then because we weren't being ourselves, the validation still comes short, right? It still feels like we're alone, like we're still not seen, we're still not heard. So the good news is it's possible to develop more secure attachment patterns and reduce people-pleasing behavior. Thank goodness. And yeah. Yeah, my marriage too, Cherie, that sounds like my previous marriage. I was definitely avoidant, and it definitely, I got sucked into this trap of showing up in the way that I thought I was supposed to, trying to meet other people's expectations, trying so hard to get this validation and never actually getting it, which left me feeling even more freaking stuck, even more alone, even more unappreciated. Not what I was going for, right? And so some of the ways that you can really work on reducing your people-pleasing behavior would be working with a coach or a mentor, a therapist, to really identify and challenge any negative belief sets, behaviors, mindsets, by practicing self-care and self-compassion. And again, working on those healthy boundaries, right? And by cultivating a stronger sense of self-worth and security from within, people pleasers can then start to prioritize their own needs and desires while maintaining a healthy relationship with others. Now, when we talk about internal versus external validation and how to create the validation we need for ourselves, there are a few ways that you can make this shift for yourself. Number one, and this is going back to the framework of the three steps, so I want to share specifically how you can start to make this shift today. So with building self-awareness, there are a few practical things. You might want to take notes on some of these action steps. And actually, I would love for you to take notes on some of these action steps and let me know which one you're going to do when we're finished. Spending time alone with yourself to reflect on your values, beliefs, and priorities. This is essentially self-discovery, compassionate inquiry of self in order to build this strong foundational relationship with yourself. To get to know who you are is to know what is and isn't for you, to know what is and isn't authentic, to know what behaviors are and aren't aligned, to know what relationships are and aren't a fit. You may also practice mindfulness meditation in order to observe your thoughts and emotions without judgment, just to have that opportunity to step out of the busy mind and over-identification with it and into the observer role, who is watching the thoughts but not taking them on board. You may also wish to keep a journal, record your thoughts and feelings throughout the day to really start to identify what are the patterns, what are the recurring thoughts, what are the themes, what's the overall tone? And then working on repatterning those thoughts and feelings that are not supportive to your best life. Some of them may have been working well, providing you exactly what you needed in the past, but they may not be any longer. So getting aware of them is the first step, and then we can start to recalibrate to the experience that we truly desire. Now, as far as setting healthy boundaries goes, you have got to really start to identify your personal boundaries and be able to communicate them clearly to other people. So some ways that you can start to do this, if this isn't already in your regular day-to-day activities, is to practice saying no when requests or situations or expectations don't align with your values or priorities. You can learn to outsource or delegate, and even, in fact, give yourself permission to say no without feeling guilty or ashamed. And that feels so much better. You can also practice using I statements to express your needs and feelings in an assertive and kind way, expressing your position, not making judgments about anything else, just expressing your position. And just keeping in mind here again, boundaries are not walls, they're not meant to keep people out, but rather they're a doorway, direction to show others the way into your heart. And practicing vulnerability. I know this can be really a bit terrifying for some people who maybe, you know, out there don't really typically express their emotions. They haven't really been taught to. Maybe you've been caught in a situation where you have expressed yourself and it didn't work out the way you thought. You were told you were too much. You were told to keep it small. You know, a lot of times, again, from childhood, I definitely know that I've heard the saying of children are to be seen and not heard far too many times for my liking, and I don't think it's true. Children deserve to be seen and heard. And by starting out with just some small acts of vulnerability, such as sharing your opinion or feeling with someone that you trust, you can start to exercise this muscle of vulnerability. Again, it is a strength. In fact, a hidden superpower, not a weakness. So being kind and compassionate to yourself, especially when you're feeling vulnerable, and then reminding yourself that it's normal, it's a necessary part of the human experience, and that this self-compassion is ultimately the catalyst for your greatness. So I would encourage you to please, please try it on. Now remember that knowledge is power, right? We've got lots of information here today, but in order to really make the change, you've got to take some action. So I would love for you to look at the notes that you've just taken, or think back of the things that I've just suggested, and highlight or star or circle at least one of the action steps that you're going to take today And if you're interested in diving a little bit deeper into more action steps and getting a little bit of support with this, please stay tuned for the exciting offer that we have to share with you in just a few moments. I would love for you to share, hit us up in the chat. If you have decided which action step you are going to take today, sometimes by letting other people know, it helps to hold us a little bit more accountable, right? As well, if you do have any questions or comments or feedback to this point in the masterclass, please feel free to drop them in the chat and I will try to answer them as best as I can. And I'm going to also continue sharing about, I'm going to wrap this up and then I'm going to share about what is next as an opportunity for you. So people pleasing, just to wrap this up, is actually really common. So I don't want you to feel like you're alone. I actually do want you to know that you are not alone and that this is a very common issue, okay? But you don't need to stay stuck in this pattern because it can lead to exhaustion and low self-esteem and difficulty forming those authentic relationships that we truly, truly crave. And the root causes might include childhood experiences, societal expectations, personality traits. It could even come from a relationship where you have been gaslit or emotionally abused, physically abused, all of these things. The important thing here to remember is that everyone's experience is ultimately very unique to them. And that all of our perspectives and experiences are welcome here as humans, okay? So the three steps to reiterate to overcoming people-pleasing involve building self-awareness, setting healthy boundaries, and practicing vulnerability. And as a recap, self-awareness can be cultivated through things like mindfulness practices, coaching, therapy, compassionate inquiry, self-reflection, okay? And meditation, things like that, journaling. Setting healthy boundaries involves understanding your needs and values and then clearly communicating them and following through on consequences where necessary. And finally, practicing vulnerability. This is exercising this muscle of taking small risks, allowing yourself to be seen as imperfect, and allowing in support from trusted individuals. Again, it's important to remember that this is a journey. There might be setbacks along the way. And in fact, if you're seeing a setback, it's simply an opportunity for you to observe how far you have come. So be patient with yourself and kind to yourself as you're moving towards, you know, this more authentic and fulfilling life. And if you do feel like you could benefit from additional support, consider seeking help from a trusted therapist, a coach, a mentor, whatever you've got in your toolbox. My inbox is always open as well. I want you to remember that you deserve love, acceptance, respect, all of that, regardless of whether or not you are pleasing to others, regardless of whether or not they are happy with you. None of that is your responsibility, but your happiness is. So with a little bit of time and effort, you can break free from this trap of people pleasing and finally start to create a life that aligns with your values, one that brings you joy. And I would encourage you to continue along the journey. So what's next? If you're looking to take a little bit more action towards your self-improvement and growth, I would love to invite you to join us for some ongoing support and guidance. By building this self-awareness, setting the boundaries, the practicing vulnerability, you can ultimately start to shift your focus from seeking external validation to cultivating love and acceptance on the daily. And this is the work that we are going to be doing inside of our brand new program called Authenticity Unleashed. This is an in-depth program designed for you to ditch the people-pleasing. And I'm super excited to share with you a very, very no-brainer, low-cost introductory offer on this brand new program. The program includes 9 lessons with practical exercises and tools, strategies that are going to help you to unlock your authenticity at a whole nother level, along with group coaching hot seat sessions where you can come get live coaching and support or submit your questions and we'll answer if you can't attend live. All sessions in the program are going to be available for at minimum 3 weeks beyond the official end date of the program. Because this is our inaugural offering, we are doing things a little bit differently. We're going to run it as a 3-week in-depth program, which is going to kick off on May 29th. And the program name is Authenticity Unleashed, a program for ditching people pleasing, and we have an incredible introductory offer available for everyone who is hopping on into this inaugural version. We are offering this 3-week in-depth program for just $111. This will definitely be increasing for future offerings, but because we are looking to help as many people as we can, we would love feedback and input, and we really want it to be integrated with your needs. So we are just wanting to offer it at a steal of a deal. Now, I also recognize some of you will want to cut to the chase and you don't want to join a group program. You want the tailored guidance to get you there even faster. And so if you're looking for a more personalized approach, feel free to reach out directly and inquire. There are VIP day offers, pocket coaching, which is essentially unlimited on-demand messenger coaching within certain parameters, and one-to-one tailored coaching or mentorship. And now, as promised earlier in the masterclass, I want to leave you with this optional bonus homework exercise that you can do to really start to show love and acceptance and compassion to your inner child. And this is ultimately for you to write an apology letter to your inner child, that inner version, that younger version of you. You may wish to even have a photograph of younger you so that you can see and talk to them and really let it out. Write this letter to the child within you that felt that they needed to contort themselves to make others happy. The child in you who needed to fit in so that they didn't stand out. The child in you that had to perform in order to be accepted. And once you've got all of this emotion out on the paper, you can do a number of things. You can say it out loud. You can read your letter out loud. You can burn it. You can rip it up. Whatever you do, let it be an expression of releasing and giving to yourself all of that love and acceptance and validation that you need. Now, this is only the tip of the iceberg, and we'd love for you to potentially share your insights from completing this exercise. I would love to hear how your experience was. I would absolutely adore if you dropped a message into my inbox letting me know how this masterclass was for you, any big ahas that you have, any questions that you have. Feel free to share your experience either in the comments below this video or, you know, by email at hello@coachchristyholt.com. And a quick reminder as I'm wrapping up the end of this, I just want to remind you to please share this masterclass with a fellow people pleaser. You know, we all use a little bit of help, right? And I would also love it if you were to reach out with any questions, feedback, or aha moments that you'd like to share. I am just sending you so, so much love, holding so much space for you, holding all of the infinite possibility that is available for you. And I can't wait to see what you do when you break free. Love you all so much. Now let's go do some epic shit, shall we?